Praise the Lord for our brothers. Won't you give them a hand? Just a little talk with Jesus. That was sweet, brothers. That was sweet. Amen. Thank you for your music ministry. And I have a long text passage to read, and I was taught in school to read a short text, and so I'm violating one of those homiletical principles. But if you will turn with me to the Gospel of John, chapter 9, verse 13 through 38, International Version. The text says, "They brought to the Pharisees the man who had been blind. Now the day on which Jesus had made the mud and opened the man's eyes was a Sabbath. Therefore the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. He put mud on my eyes, the man replied, and I washed, and now I see. Some of the Pharisees said, this man is not from God, for he does not keep the Sabbath. But others asked, how can a sinner perform such signs? So they were divided. Then they turned again to the blind man. What have you to say about him? It was your eyes he opened, the man replied. He is a prophet. They still did not believe that he had been blind and had received his sight until they sent for the man's parents. Is this your son? They asked. Is this the one you say was born blind? How is it that now he can see? We know he is our son, the parents answered, and we know he was born blind, but how he can see now or who opened his eyes, we don't know. Ask him. He is of age. He will speak for himself. His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders who already had decided that anyone who acknowledged that Jesus was a Messiah would be put out of the synagogue. That was why his parents said, he is of age, ask him. A second time, they summoned the man who had been blind. Give glory to God by telling the truth, they said. We know this man is a sinner. He replied, whether he is a sinner or not, I don't know. One thing I do know, I was blind, but now I see. Then they asked him, what did he do to you? How did he open your eyes? He answered, I've told you already, and you did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you want to become his disciples too? Then they hurled insults at him and said, you are this fellow's disciple. We are disciples of Moses. We know that God spoke through Moses, but as for this fellow, we don't even know where he comes from. The man answered, now that is remarkable. You don't know where he comes from, yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners. He listens to the godly person who does his will. Nobody has ever heard of opening the eyes of a man born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. To this they replied, you were steeped in sin at birth. How dare you lecture us? And they threw him out. Jesus heard that they had thrown him out. And when he found him, he said, do you believe in the Son of Man? Who is he, sir? The man asked. Tell me so I may believe in him. Jesus said, you have now seen him. In fact, he is the one speaking with you. Then the man said, Lord, I believe. And he worshiped him. The word of the Lord. An unintended outcome. Usually I preach what we call a topical sermon where I list or my title or topic, and then give you some points under that topic. But today I want to do sort of an expository sermon, which is sort of exposing the text going verse by verse and helping us to glean lessons from the text. So it won't center upon any particular points except the points made in the text. So sort of different way of presenting the text. Years ago, an older man, and then when I thought about it the other day, I said that when he said this to me, He was around my age. I was in my 20s then, and now I'm calling him an older man. But an older man once said to me, and I've said it to you before, a heap see, but a few know. And that's sort of a southern expression that he had heard, I guess, from his parents or family. But his point was, many people see things, but they don't always know what's going on. And sometimes only a few really understand what they see and what's going on. Seeing and knowing are two different things. The story in our text that I read to you is just part of it. You know, it's a long story. It focuses upon seeing and knowing and who really sees and who really knows. And how is it that a person sees and how is it that a person knows? I read the part of the story that is about the aftermath of a miracle performed by Jesus on the Sabbath. Earlier in the chapter, John tells us Jesus encounters a blind man. And when the disciples see the blind man, they ask Jesus whether the blind man is blind because of his parents' sin or is blind because of his own sin. And Jesus dismisses both options. He tells the disciples the man is born blind to provide an opportunity for God to work in his life. You see, in Jesus' day, the Jews felt that if you had any kind of ailment, any kind of illness or deformity, it was because of sin, that God would not bring you into the world and not leave you whole unless you had sinned or done something. So that's why they were asking about this man's sin. But Jesus said, no, this is an opportunity for God to work in this man's life. And he says to the disciples, well, he shows the disciples what he means. So he spits on the ground, and apparently there's a lot of dirt there. He spits on the ground, and of course a lot of spit too, because he made some mud or some spittle with the dirt and his spit, and then takes that and rubs it on the man's eyes. Yeah, you all would like that kind of a miracle, wouldn't you? Yeah, you know, my mother, when we were kids, if she didn't have a washcloth, she'd take it and she'd wipe our faces off with her. Yeah, I'm just saying, I don't know if your mother did it, but mine did it. Anyway, so he rubs the spittle on the man's eyes and then tells him to go and wash in the pool of Siloam. And the man goes as Jesus instructs and washes his eyes off. And comes home seeing. He gets his sight miraculously. He was born blind, and all of a sudden, he gets his sight. He is no longer blind. And so it's a good day. It's a good outcome. And so he goes home, and you know, there should be nothing but celebration and rejoicing. But that's not the outcome for this man. When he gets into the neighborhood, the people, you know, they say, isn't that the man that used to sit around begging for food, who was blind? And they said, yeah. And some people said, no, that isn't him. They said, yeah. And instead of celebrating the man's ability to see, they want to know how, he is able to see. They're not concerned about seeing the miracle. They are concerned about knowing. Some folks are not interested in your blessing. They just want to know how you got it. They don't want to celebrate with you. They don't want to rejoice because of what God has done. They just want to know how you got it, how you got blessed. And so an interesting happens in this story. The people begin to question the man, and so it's not the kind of outcome that you would expect. This story begins to move on two levels. And on one level, that's the official point of the story. is about the investigation of the miracle. As you saw, there's a big old investigation about this man's miracle, this man receiving his sight. That's one level, but then on another level, there is the irony in the story about knowing Jesus. Because on one level, it's the official investigation. On another level, there is the knowing part, knowing Jesus. Let's start with the investigation of the miracle. The text says they brought to the Pharisees the man who had borne by. So his neighbors have talked to them and to him. And then they're not finished. They bring him to the Pharisees. And on that day, Jesus had made the mud and opened the man's eyes. It was a Sabbath. Therefore, the Pharisees also asked him how he received his sight. He put mud on my eyes, the man replied, and I washed, and now I see. Some of the Pharisees said, this man is not from God, for he does not keep the Sabbath. But others asked, how can a sinner perform such signs? So they were divided. They turned again to the man. What have you to say about him? Your eyes were, oh, how are your eyes open? He says, he is a prophet. So, isn't it something? He gets home, and the neighbors in the neighborhood question him. And they are not satisfied with their level of knowing. So they take him to the religious authorities. You know, they escort him to the people, that give sentences for people doing stuff on the Sabbath. And of course, the Pharisees want to know how the man is able to see, and they begin their first interview. And the man tells them what Jesus does, and he tells them what Jesus says. Jesus made the mud, and Jesus told me to go wash in the pool. So, of course, the fact that it happens on the Sabbath, the Pharisee, oh, yes, he made mud on the Sabbath day. He violated the Sabbath, because in order to make the mud, you've got to knead the dirt and the spittle. So he was kneading in the dirt on the Sabbath day, and kneading is forbidden on the Sabbath day. I tell you, you got some folk that find out your violation. You cut your toenail, and this is a violation of the Sabbath day. And according to the Pharisees, Jesus has violated the Sabbath. And because he has violated the Sabbath, he is a sinner, and therefore he is not from God. Now, some of them say, oh, yeah, he violated the Sabbath. He's a sinner. Some of the Pharisees. And some of the other Pharisees said, oh, but he performed a miracle. So how could he be a sinner? So the Pharisees, the clergy, are divided. You got one reverend over here saying it's all right. And you got another reverend over here saying it's not all right. The clergy are divided. There's a snag in the investigation. And the Pharisees say, what have you to say about him? The man says, he is a prophet. That's the first part of the interview, the investigation. They talk to the man, and then that doesn't generate anything. And then the investigation is extended to his parents. And the Pharisees take a different tack with his parents. What they try to do with the parents is to attempt to show that the man was never born blind in the first place. And so they say, is this your son? Is he the one you say was born blind? You hear that? He say, how is it that he can now see? But the parents are a little clever. And the parents, fearing retribution, speak to what they know. They say to them, he is our son. He was born blind, and he is of age, so ask him yourself, and keep us out of it. The parents don't want any trouble. They see the results of the miracle, but they don't know how it occurred, and they weren't present, so they send the Pharisees back to their son and effectively say, we only can talk about what we know about. And we're not going to let you trap us into saying something that we should not say, because they knew if they were to get trapped that the Pharisees might put them out of the temple. But I tell you, you got to stick with what you know and speak your truth quietly and clearly. as someone wrote. You got to stick with what you know. Sometimes in an attempt to get to you, folk will go after those who are close to you. And so they couldn't get to the blind man, so they go to the blind man's parents and try to pull the parents into the situation. I know of a woman who, not from Texas, whose son is arrested one day for dealing drugs. And in fact, when the son is arrested, the police officers raid the house. They break in and scares, you know, the family and arrest the son. But this woman and her family are active in the church. And they live in the neighborhood, and the news spreads quickly all over the neighborhood. You know, when the police cars come pulling in, folk run to the front porch. They run to the window. They walk out down the driveway. They're looking down the block to see what happened and what's going on. And then it's all over the kingdom. And then the next Sunday, she and her family show up to church for worship. And nobody approaches her, says anything to her. And they look at her. And nobody approaches the husband and says anything to the husband. But after worship ends, there's a crowd of women around the younger daughter. And they surround the woman's daughter trying to wrestle information from the daughter. They figure she's an easy target. We won't, cause you know, that's what folk will do. They won't come up to you and ask you about your business. But they'll isolate your child over in the corner somewhere and say, well, why did you have so? And we saw such. And then they'll start questioning you and your friend. They'll go to the persons around you when they can't get to you. And that's what the Pharisees do. They go to the parents and try to drag the parents in, but the parents stick with what they know. There's a lesson there. Stay with what you know. Hold on to your truth. And then finally, and I'm almost wrapping it up, the man is brought in for a second interview, a second questioning. The second time they bring the man in, and the Pharisees attempt to disparage Jesus. They try to make it seem like Jesus is a con artist. They call him a sinner, and they come up to the man and say to the man, give glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise God, because we know this man over here is a sinner. Even though he's the one that helped, we know he's a sinner. Give glory to God. And they tell the man that to effectively ignore Jesus, but the man is bolder. He simply reiterates the truth he knows. As I said, speak your truth quietly and clearly. Don't try to explain and add everything to it. Just reiterate your truth quietly and clearly. You'll stay out of more trouble. Just reiterate your truth quietly and clearly. I don't know that, but this is what I do know. I didn't see that, but this is what I did see. I didn't hear that, but this is what I did hear. This is my truth quietly and clearly. The man says, when they say to him, he's a sinner, I don't know whether he's a sinner or not. That's for you to work out. But one thing I do know, I was blind, and now I can see. In other words, you can talk all day long, but you cannot dismiss the miracle that has occurred. The miracle speaks for itself. And as the Pharisees, they're not done. They try to press the man to explain the miracle. And the more they press him, the bolder he becomes. He even mocks them and says, well, are you all trying to become disciples of Jesus? You know, he says that to these Jewish paragons of the law. Are you wanting to be disciples? And they get upset. He knows he's getting under their skin. And then he shows them the discrepancy of their logic. It's almost like a syllogism, you know, that he, you know, this logic argument that he gives them. But he shows them how it doesn't even make sense what they're saying. He says, if Jesus is a sinner, how can he perform the miracle? God only listens to obedient people. That's what you've been telling us. God only listens. And so, and God obviously listened to Jesus. So how can he be a sinner? And if he is not a sinner, if he's not a sinner, how can you Pharisees deny God's work through him? Therefore, the man says, Jesus is an agent of God. He says to them, it doesn't make sense for you to talk about him when you see what he's done. And if he's done what he is in fact attributed with doing, then he is an agent of God. And of course, they're like, wait a minute now. How dare you? You know, I rarely ever use that phrase, but I love when people say that to you. How dare you? How dare you? You have the unmitigated gall. You have the temerity. How dare you say that to me? Don't talk to me. How dare you attempt to teach us? That's what they say. They become indignant with the man. They say, how dare you? You've been a sinner from birth. You've been a sinner your whole life. You were a sinner when your mama walked out of the hospital and carried you down the block. You've been a sinner. They hurl insults at him. I tell you, folk, they will dress you down when they mad at you. They will say some things to you when they're angry with you. And then they expel him. They kick him out of the synagogue. And in 70 AD, at this time, there were a lot of people expelled from the synagogue by the Pharisees. It was a big deal during Jesus' day. They throw him out, and the man receives the outcome that his parents wanted to avoid. The man is cut off from family and religion. He's cut off from heritage and home. At least, even though he was blind, he still had a connection to his faith and a connection to the community. But now that he's been excommunicated, that connection has been lost. What an outcome. There is no celebratory event. There is no rejoicing. A man is healed and expelled on the same day. Isn't that something? That's like, you know, getting a job promotion early in the morning and going out and having a car accident in the afternoon. Huh? That's like getting a compliment from one person in the lobby on your outfit and walking down the hall and somebody saying, that's too tight. He's healed and he's expelled on the same day. I tell you, there's some folk who are in the expulsion crowd. They don't want you to be blessed. They don't want you to succeed. They want to expel you. They want to put you out. The governor of Florida has an expulsion obsession. If you speak about the history of racism, you get expelled. If you speak to young people about their identity issues, you get expelled. If you call people on the carpet for injustice and discrimination, you get expelled. If you talk about what's going on in your community and stand up for your community, you get expelled. Some folk are in the expulsion crowd. All they want to do is put somebody out. All they want to do is ostracize somebody. All they want to do is block somebody and tell them what the rules are. And the Pharisees are also expulsion fanatics. You see, beloved, some folks just want to get rid of you. And they cannot be happy with God's goodness in your life. So when God blesses you, don't run around and tell everybody. Because everybody won't jump and shout. Everybody's not going to be happy. Somebody's going to look at you like, They won't be able to, they won't be able to hug you. They won't be able to smile with you. They won't be able to praise you. They won't be able because they're hating on you, or they're mad at you, or they're in the expulsion crowd. I'm almost done. But that's the official part of the story about the investigation of the miracle. But running beneath the surface is the unofficial level of the story. It's the ironic level of the story. It's about knowing Jesus. Because if you read closely, as the man goes through this experience of being interrogated and questioned about his miracle, his knowledge of Jesus grows deeper. Beneath the surface, we can see the Pharisees increasing their tactics, but we can also see the progression of the man's faith in Jesus. And the Pharisees drive the man out, but they unwittingly lead the man to Jesus Christ. The text says, when Jesus heard that they had thrown him out, and when he found him, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man? Who is he, sir?" The man asked, "Tell me so that I may believe in him." Jesus said, "You have now seen him. In fact, he is the one who is speaking with you." Then the man said, "Lord, I believe." And he worshiped him. The man goes from calling Jesus a prophet. In the first interview, they say, "Who is he? What do you?" What is it? They say, "He says he's a prophet." To attesting that Jesus came from God in the second interview. It wasn't until the second interview, when they pressed the man a little harder, that the man said he had to be from God, because only God can do miracles, and he performed a miracle in my life. So he goes from being a prophet to being someone from God. And then when he is put out, he sees Jesus face to face. If he had not been put out, he might never have seen Jesus. But the fact that they put him out of the synagogue, the man is able to see Jesus face to face. If they had not questioned him, perhaps he would not have reflected so deeply upon God's work in his life. He might have just taken the miracle, gone home, and that would have been it. But they kept on messing with him, which made him think more and more about how it happened and how the miracle occurred. And when he thought about it, he saw the workings of God in his life. Isn't that something, beloved? They meant it for bad, but God meant it for good. The Pharisees pushed the man to reflect theologically upon his situation. And then when he does it, Jesus catches him at just the right time. When official religion said no, Jesus said yes. When official religion said you don't belong here anymore, Jesus said, "I accept you. Come on in." When official religion put him out and said, "You no longer are a part of the family of Israel," Jesus says, "Come in. You can be a part of my family." And Jesus confronts the man about his faith. The Pharisees are so caught up in catching a Sabbath violator. Don't spend your time running around trying to find out who's doing something wrong. You got enough wrong in your own life to ask God all day long for forgiveness. That's not our job, to try to find the violators. Our job is try to lead people to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Our job is to say, "Do you know Jesus? Do you want to know Jesus? Jesus can save your life." What an unintended outcome. Unintended. Pharisees trying to get the man to see Jesus as they see him. And the outcome is, the man is the one who is really seeing clearly. Now, the man not only sees physically, but also sees in his heart now. He knows who Jesus is, and the ones who are blind are the Pharisees. I'm almost done. There's a lesson, there's several lessons in this story. And one lesson is, when Jesus is at work in your life, Don't let other folk deny the work he's doing in your life. It doesn't matter if they don't see it. They don't have to see it. All you need to know is your relationship with Jesus Christ yourself. You hold on to that. And don't hide what God is doing for you to try to please somebody else. God has blessed you and you don't want to show up with your blessing because you don't want to make somebody upset or you don't want to make somebody mad. Well, if he woke you up this morning, if he put food on your table, if he walks with you, if he answers your prayers, you ought to show up and you ought to show some sign. You ought to show up and say, thank you, Jesus, for all that you've done for me. And for all that you meant in my life, going to be a whole lot of haters out there talking about you, trying to put you in a box. Forget about them. Tell them I got my own box. You don't fit in my box. You're right. I don't fit in your box. I fit in my own box. And, well, I'm not going to get in the box with you. Well, I'm glad you're not getting in here with me. I want Jesus in the box with me. I want Jesus. Oh, to walk with me. I want Jesus to hold my hand. I want Jesus. I'm through. My soul is happy. Amen. Invitation. Christian disciple. Oh, what he's done for me. Never shall forget. We extend the invitation to Christ. To you in the sanctuary, to those of you online, just to say to you that what Jesus does in this man's life, he can do in your life. He can transform your life. That's why the choir is saying, expect a miracle. That's why they sang, just a little talk with Jesus. That's all you need to have an experience. Online, you can go to belonging@ebc3austin.org and let us know your testimony. And if you're here, get up from wherever you are and walk forward as the deacons, ushers, and the ministers come. Will you stand with me as we extend the invitation? Will you stand, everybody? Oh,
oh, what he's done. Oh,
oh, oh, what he's done for me. Is there another?
Oh, what he's done for me. I never shall forget what he's done for me.
He took my feet out the miry clay. Took my feet out the miry clay. That's what he's done. Took my feet out the miry clay.
That's what he's done for me. I never shall forget what he's done for me.
Oh, what he's done for me.
Oh, what he's done for me.
Let us hear from our clerk.
Thank you. Good morning, Pastor Freeman, members and visitors. We are so delighted to have Jonah Nathaniel Samuel to come. This is Devontae's son.
Okay.
The next generation is coming to join with us, and he wants to be baptized.
Come on, Brother Samuel. God bless you, Devontae. Amen. Amen. And this is Jonah?
Yes, sir.
All right, Jonah, you want to be baptized?
Yes.
You do? You believe in Jesus Christ?
Yes.
All righty. Well, bless you and welcome to our church family. You've been coming, right?
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Dad bringing son, leading his family to faith. Amen.
He didn't want to go to hell, so I was like, well, you need to get baptized.
He said he didn't want to go to hell?
Yeah.
Amen. I don't either. Amen. God bless you. You listen to the statement of Jonathan coming for baptism. Say amen as we receive him into the family of God. Jonah.
Yeah.
That's a biblical name.
Yeah.
All righty, Jonah. Sorry. All right. God bless you.